Hello, this is Paul Lawson with the U.S. Geological Survey, speaking with Dr. Chad Jay, a research ecologist specializing in walrus population ecology with the USGS Alaska Science Center. Thanks for joining me today, Dr. Jay.
Thanks for having me.
You have a paper that is being published in the Journal of Polar Biology about a new scientific model that projects the population of the Pacific walrus throughout the rest of this century. Why is it important to know what the walrus population might be in the year 2095?
Well, there's a lot of concern with decreasing sea ice habitats up in the Arctic. Walruses use the sea ice for a number of life functions. One of them is they give birth on the sea ice and nurse their young on the sea ice. They use the sea ice to rest. So with the reduction of sea ice, it really is forcing walruses into behaviors that they have not used in the past. The other thing, sea ice acts as a barrier as well to potential anthropogenic stressors to species like walruses. With sea ice in the wintertime, a lot of industry is not able to go up into some of the areas that are important for walruses. So with loss of sea ice, it opens up the opportunity for other activities to occur in walrus habitat, which could also impact the walruses. So it's a pretty complex system. And what managers and society would like to know is how the reduction of sea ice that's projected for the future, through the end of the century at least, how walruses are going to respond to those reductions in sea ice.
So how does this model actually project the walrus populations?
The model, it's called a Bayesian network model, and some of the inputs into the model have to do with sea ice projections, the extent of sea ice, and the amount of time sea ice is present in areas of the range of the walrus, which is the Bering and the Chukchi Sea. It also has for input in the model is how the degree to which sea ice may cause a change in the Arctic ecosystem by, for example, an earlier sea ice melt could result in decreased organic matter to the bottom. And that's important because walruses are bottom feeders, benthic feeders. They feed on clams and snails and worms and a variety of other things on the bottom. And so if those prey species decrease in abundance, that could also impact walruses. And then also, as we mentioned before, with decreased sea ice, there could be an increase in other anthropogenic activities within their range. And those could also act to modify the bottom substrate and affect the abundance of prey for walruses. In addition, those activities could also have an impact on walruses through increased noise levels or the potential for oil spills and things like that, which could disturb or have direct or indirect impacts on the walruses. And then finally, walruses are harvested in Alaska. They're an important food source for Alaskan natives and Russian natives as well. And so the harvest of walruses also impacts the population, obviously.
Interesting. So what are the most likely factors in the model that will affect the outlook of the walrus population?
Well, what we found through this model is that the reduction of sea ice, particularly in the summer-fall season in the Chukchi Sea, and potentially high levels of harvest in the future could have the greatest impact on walrus outcome.
Who will use this model, and how will the information generated from it be used?
I think the model is useful for a couple of things. One is that different organizations and managers can look at the model and the outcome and how the outcomes are related to some of these specific stressors in walrus outcomes in the future and be able to help plan and mitigate some of those stressors. We also, I think, an important use of the model is for us in planning our research and focusing our research, future research, because it helps to identify what's linked to what and what things have the greatest impact on the population and things we may need more information on.
How does this model fit into the larger context of your walrus studies?
Right now, I think it's providing a good framework for us to be able to pull in these various variables together and see how they're related and talk about how they're linked. And that just helps us to better perceive how these things together can impact the walrus population. And then also, again, as a framework for us to for future research, It allows us to look at what things the population might be most sensitive to, where our data gaps are, and where we may need to increase our level of research effort.
Is there any other information about this new model that you'd like to share?
This is kind of a first cut of the model. It's something that we're looking at as not something that's going to be static, but a dynamic model. So we'll revisit it in another few years, update the model as we think we need to, so it gives what we think is a better portrayal of the system and how walruses respond to that system. And also as we get new information through research and monitoring, that would also help our input values into the model in the future.
That's great. It's really interesting work that you're doing, Dr. J.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for taking the time to speak with me today, and good luck in the future.
Thanks.
This is a production of the U.S. Geological Survey, U.S. Department of Interior.